Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Are you tired of computer-generated phone calls? Well, there's a way to stop them, and it's free. We're going to talk to the developer of No Mo Robo, Aaron Foss. Aaron, welcome to Of Consuming Interest. I can't wait to get into this. This is such an exciting, innovative program you've done. Tell me, you're a programmer, is that right? A software developer?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, so you saw something that you thought needed correcting. There was the FTC, I gather, put out a bid for people with ideas. So tell us about that.
Sure, you're right. Thanks for having me on the program, Shirley. So the these robocalls are the number one problem that the FTC has. Over 200,000 complaints come in every single month from people, your listeners, that are just so tired of this. And nobody was able to solve this problem. You know, the FTC had worked with the FCC and the carriers, and, you know, they have a do not call list. Nothing seemed to work. And so they took an interesting view, and they said, why don't we make a contest, and we're going to give away a $50,000 prize to the person or team that can come up with a solution to this problem. And to be completely honest, I didn't even know that robocalls were a huge problem. I really don't get a ton of them. But I thought it was a really interesting problem to solve. And I'm a programmer. I like solving problems with technology. And so I kind of put my thinking cap on, and I came up with an idea that I thought would work. And so I created a proof of concept. I sent it into the FTC along with 800 other people. Almost 800 people entered this contest, and they picked my solution as the winner.
That's awesome. Okay, so you got this idea, you responded to this, and you developed No Mo Robo, which you I think launched in September of 2013. So, but here's the thing that I was really surprised at looking at your website, that 21% of all calls in the U.S. are robocalls. That's awful. I mean, that's crazy. That means that a quarter of the time I've been answering the phone, it's a computer. That really frosts me, Aaron, I have to tell you. So anyway, and I learned about this through a friend of mine who somehow or the other found it and is using it and loves it. So let's talk a little bit about how it works, all right? There is a big problem. Frauds come through these robocalls. We know that. There's something like, $1.5 billion lost to fraud in 2012, and that amount's probably growing. So tell me the concept of how this works, and then we're going to get into the details of how consumers use it.
Sure. So it's on the back end, it's very complicated. It's really complex, but for the user, it's pretty much a one-step process to enable it on your phone line.
Mm-hmm.
So what winds up happening is, you go on No Mo Robo, you sign up, and it gives you instructions on how to enable it on your phone carrier.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it only works on if you get your phone line through your cable company. It's called
mm-hmm.
Voice over IP.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work on traditional landlines or mobile yet, but hopefully that's coming soon. And what's happening behind the scenes is it's actually piggybacking off of a feature that already exists, and it's called simultaneous ring. And so, in your house you have multiple phone extensions,
mm-hmm.
right? You have one in the kitchen, you have one in the living room, and they all kind of ring at the same time.
Right.
So what simultaneous ring lets you do is that same exact thing, except these phones can be anywhere in the country. So what you do is you put a phone number onto your simultaneous ring list, which is the No Mo Robo phone number, and then No Mo Robo is watching your phone line, and if any a call comes through that is a robocaller,
mm-hmm.
it answers the phone for you and then hangs up on the robocaller. So it's just like having somebody in your house watching the phone and looking at it and saying, hey, that's a robocaller, pick it up and hang it up so that you don't have to do that.
Okay, so now let me understand this. So then not everybody's going to be able to access this, at least not now. You're saying
not
it's
yet.
The VoIP, which is using the internet rather than copper-wired phones, correct?
Correct. So this service, this simultaneous ring that No Mo Robo needs, is only available on Voice over IP now. As I said, it's a pretty new concept. It's a pretty
mm-hmm.
new feature. There's been three-way calling. There's voicemail. Those have been around for a long
right.
time. But this simultaneous ring is still pretty new. And I guess that's, it takes a new set of eyes to look at a problem. And
mm-hmm.
I knew about simultaneous ring, and I was able to kind of put those together and say, hey, this is going to work.
Well, now, how many people in the U.S. are going to be able to use this? And for example, our listeners. customers. They need to be getting their phone service through their cable company, not sure. through the traditional phone lines.
Correct. There's 39 million people that have voice over IP phone service.
That's a lot of people.
It still is a lot. It's smaller than traditional landlines, and you know, much smaller than mobile. But there's still a lot of people. And my thinking was, you know what? Let's start somewhere.
Sure.
Because this problem is big, and it's getting worse. And so if we demonstrate it here, and we at least let a small subset of the population, you know, only 40 million people use it, maybe we can start putting a dent in this problem for everyone else.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that you'll devise a way to find it and extend it to the rest of the world.
Exactly.
So, okay. So here we are. We've got this system. It blocks phone calls, which I think is absolutely astonishing. I'm probably not going to be able to use it because I don't have VoIP. But I know there's a move by some of the phone companies to move to that internet protocol, right?
Correct. Yep. All the new systems and even some of the traditional landline carriers are transitioning their customers over there. So it's going to be happening very soon.
Right. It's going to be rolled out over the next few years. So most of us are going to have VoIP, I think, eventually.
Exactly.
So you started out in the right direction. I mean, very smart there, Aaron. I like this.
Thank you.
I like this a lot. Let's just go back a little bit and talk about the calls that come in. The top five frauds that you see coming in and the things, I got some information from your publicist that said that you all have identified the types of frauds. Is that frauds associated with these robocalls?
Yeah, exactly. And so these robocallers are really just scammers. They're really like email spammers. They're trying to take advantage of people that really kind of the least fortunate people with financial problems. So a lot of the scams that I see are
refinance your credit card.
You got it. We have Rachel from Cardholder Service.
Oh, I've heard from Rachel many times. I don't like Rachel.
Exactly. We all want to get rid of Rachel.
That's right.
I think there's now Anne from Cardholder Services too, which is a new person. Same scam that they're trying to peddle. A new one that popped up in the last couple of months has been these fake Medic Alert bracelets, and you can tell what I think is just kind of despicable about.
Oh yeah, they're free too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Free in quotes. Mm-hmm. And, they're literally preying on little old ladies who, they call up and say, one of your family members ordered you this Medic Alert bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the warehouse. We just need you to give us your credit card number so that we can ship it to you.
Yeah, right.
And then, yeah, exactly. Then they're on the service. And so, it's just this big problem there. That's a huge one, that we see. And another big one, the top offender, which has kind of gone under the radar, are these fake charities, these dubious charities.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
I hate those.
Exactly.
Hate those.
Yeah, they are officially charities, but so little money winds up going to the people that they're trying to help, and it all goes into their pockets.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit more. Let's just take a break here to identify ourselves for our listeners. They're tuned into Off Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Aaron Foss. He's the founder of No Mo Robo, and he's going to tell you, not all of you, but the people that are on VoIP phone system, how to get rid of robocalls. And eventually we're going to all be there, so it'll work for all of us. Okay. You're talking about those fake charities. What they are is they're professional organizations. See, I run a consumer organization, Aaron, Call for Action, and we see a lot of these people have been scammed by them. But they call and say that they're raising money on behalf of the firefighters. Well, who doesn't want to donate to the firefighters? But then you learn that about 75-80% of the money goes to the caller, not to the charity. So don't do it. All right. Let's go back and talk about the phone system and how people who do have this phone system, they go in, they set this up, and for them, it's kind of seamless. They don't hear, see, or know that there's calls out there coming in until they've been screened and come to their phone.
Exactly, and this is the thing that is so funny. I get so many people emailing me and thanking me for giving them back their phone and bringing peace to their house. And ultimately, what they say they love about it, it's a set it and forget it.
Yeah,
you don't you do this one time. The only thing that you hear, so now when any call comes in, if it's a robocaller, you hear a single ring, and then No Mo Robo picks up. So you just hear ring, and then it stops. Any other a regular call just goes through and continually
continues ringing, certainly.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so what people have told me there is that whenever they hear that single ring, they can't stop but smiling and thinking, hey, that's a call I didn't pick up, right? That's a scammer that didn't get through.
That's right.
That's my dinner that they didn't interrupt. And, you know, that kind of feedback, it's a set it and forget it.
Yep.
But you also get a reminder that it's working.
Okay. Now, what about false positives, where it was really a call that you wanted to receive? How do consumers set it up so that they get calls from their doctor, from the airlines, those things? How do you know? I mean, I can't believe your software is smart enough to know that all by itself.
Sure, it needs a little help.
Okay.
Exactly. So it protects you from, so NomoRobo protects you from the illegal robocallers, but to your point, you know, there are legal robocallers.
Right, that's exactly the calls you want. You want to know if your flight's been changed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Prescription reminders.
Oh, yeah, you know, right.
Your pharmacy is going to be calling you. So there's a couple of pieces of technology. The first one is that we've worked with a lot of the companies, and we have a white list, and we know the numbers that they're going to be calling from,
mm-hmm.
so we know to let them through. So that's
great.
The kind of the easy one. What actually winds up happening also when it's a little bit of an oversimplification. I say, you know, NomoRobo answers the phone and then hangs up on the robocaller. What it actually does is it answers the call and it says, you know, this phone is protected by NomoRobo. Please enter, and it picks a random two-digit number to prove you're human. So,
okay.
You know, let's say that there is a false positive where, you know, somebody who has to get through is flagged as a robocaller. That person will just be able to type in that two-digit number, and then it patches the call right back through.
Okay.
So there's really no danger of anybody missing any calls.
Mm-hmm.
And so those kinds of pieces really only allow all the good calls to go through and allow all the bad ones to be stopped.
So the airlines, for example, would be on what you call your white list.
Correct.
Would I need to provide you with the airline names that I use, or does it matter? You have all of them.
It is global. Everybody has
okay.
that same list. So, right. So if you fly, you know, Spirit Airlines or American Airlines,
mm-hmm.
We know those numbers and everybody's protected from
okay.
From that. Yeah.
All right. Now, here's the big question, Aaron. What about political calls?
Sure.
Can we block them?
They don't
want to hear me say that.
This is an interesting one, right? So, because some people like to get them and some people don't like to get them. So the way the system works is, and I use robocall as kind of a catch-all. This will work on live telemarketers also. And again, like, you know, it's really just for all unwanted calls.
Mm-hmm.
So if enough people report these political calls, they get on the block list because people don't want to get them. Same deal with, you know, spam is, you know,
right.
If you get email that maybe it is legitimate and, you know, it's legal to make for politicians to make these calls, but most people don't want to get them.
That's right.
It's just as legal for you guys to go and say, I don't want them. Right now, there's no way to say that there is, you know, you don't want them. So NomoRobo is
that's
there.
Right.
So, you know, this is going to be the first election season that it's been really ramped up. So we're going to find out how well it blocks those political robocalls. But that's going to be a big push come around November time to stop people from getting annoyed by, you know, people calling their phone.
Right. I can't imagine that people want to get them. You know, either you like somebody or you don't like them. A robocall makes me dislike them.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you.
You know, I mean, truthfully, it's to me, it's very annoying to have to answer the phone. Hello, this is your local politician. I'd like your vote or give me money. Yeah, right?
What I've heard is that they actually do work, but then it makes you vote for the other guy.
That's right. This could be a new campaign technique, Aaron.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Charities. What about charities? They are permitted under the telemarketing laws to call and make solicitations. Now, we're talking about legitimate charities. You and I were discussing those professional fundraisers. But if your local heart association or, you know, the hospice association, I'm involved in hospice, if the hospice association calls you. And I guess it's very legitimate to use robot calls. I mean, that's an effective way for them to reach out. But how do you screen them? How do you know? I mean, there are an awful lot of charities.
Yeah, sure. So the thing with looking at, like, the legitimate robocallers, you know, if it's a legitimate charity that's calling you, they usually have you could be put on their do not call list, and they usually respect that.
Yes.
So, you know, if we let a legitimate charities through. Those are whitelisted. And, you know, we say if you don't want to get those calls anymore, when they call you, just tell them to
okay.
take them off the
list. But now what is it? But the computer generated calls don't always end up with a person being on the other end of the line.
Correct. Those, again, the legitimate companies usually have, you know, push 9 to opt out or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important for your listeners to understand, because I get this so many times where people say, I'm on the do not call list. Why do I keep getting these calls?
Right. Well, that's because they're computer generated and they don't care.
Exactly. So that's the thing. The robocallers, you know, the do not call list was created about, you know, a decade or 15 years ago to solve a different problem. It was to solve the problem of legitimate businesses trying to drum up business through the phone. And people said exactly what you're saying to me now. I don't want to get called by these people.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, the FTC put together this do not call list, and it worked really well for that. But in the last couple of years, this new illegal robocaller has come about. And, you know, they're overseas, and they're blasting out millions
of
people.
Care. They don't care that they're breaking the law.
They don't care they're breaking the law. The risk is very low. The reward is very high. They don't even scrub it against the do not call list or anything like that. So those are the guys that really that NomoRobo is protecting all the consumers from. The legitimate people, you know, they're still going to be able to do their job.
Yeah, yeah, they'll still be able to get through and do what they need to do. Okay, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Off Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is NomoRobo founder Aaron Foss, who has been referred to in some newspaper articles as the Terminator. Okay, Aaron, now let's talk about the future. We are going to be moving to VoIP phone lines. There's no question about that. The technology is there, and the phone companies are pushing for it, and they want to get rid of copper wires. And that's going to mean a little bit of things for consumers, but it's also going to mean that we would be able to use NomoRobo. So I would assume, with the fact that that's in the future, you're not looking, or are you looking to expand NomoRobo right now to the traditional phone lines, or is that technology such that you can't do it? I mean, is that the problem?
Yeah, so that, you know, it's interesting because I'm such an outsider to this whole thing. I'm not, you know, I don't have decades of experience in the phone world or anything. I'm a programmer, and so getting those contacts and making those relationships has been my biggest job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to see, you know, I would love to get every single person in the United States covered by NomoRobo. We got to start, you know, you mentioned, on average across the United States, over 21% of all calls are
right.
Robocalls.
Yep.
You know, one in California, it's as high as 25%, right? One in four calls made to California is a call that somebody doesn't want. So
yeah,
anything,
wow.
You know, anything that I can do to, you know, on traditional landlines, on mobile, on VoIP, on the next new technology that comes out, I am totally open to working with and implementing with those companies.
So you think landlines, you might get something in there before, well, because the switch to VoIP is going to take a long time. That's not going to happen overnight. There's going to be a lot of us sitting out there answering phone calls we don't want.
Yep.
So do you think that might happen?
I do. I hope for that. And what I've actually heard is, you know, the best way for consumers to get this is to kind of speak with their money. And, you know, if they have these traditional landlines and they keep on saying, we want robocall protection on there,
mm-hmm.
or else I'm going to a competitor, you know, there's a lot of
ways to do that. Yeah. Sure.
Exactly.
Sure.
And that seems to be getting some of the carrier's attention.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. Now, you got an initial grant of, what was that, $50,000 from the FTC for winning that contest over 800 other people?
Yep.
Okay.
Actually, I split it, so I only got $25,000. They named two co-winners.
Oh, okay. Now, that person developed something other than NomoRobo.
Correct. I don't know if he's ever launched his product. I haven't seen it in the market. I actually don't even know what he did with his. I know I launched mine, though.
Yes, you sure did, and you launched it to accolades. There was a wonderful New York Times article. I've read dozens of articles about NomoRobo. Okay. How do you support it? I mean,
sure.
That's not a whole lot of money, and you had to spend some time, and you've got a website, and it's got to be maintained. And how are you going to support this?
Yeah, so the goal here is that it's free to consumers.
Right.
And my thinking is, you know, I want to be able to give this technology to the consumers because this problem affects them. It's, you know, we're really saving a lot of people. But what's really interesting is that the business model is actually on the business side. So a lot of big companies also need robocall blocks.
That was going to be my next question. So go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, for consumers, it's an annoyance. You know, you're in the shower and you have to get out and answer the phone. You're in dinner. It's annoying. For a business, it costs them real money.
Yeah, it's time and money. You got it.
Exactly. You have thousands of phone reps who are picking up the phone, and they're being paid their salary and their benefits and the air conditioning and heating and the building, and so they are very excited to pay for this service. And so the consumer side works as a marketing piece for the business side, which is actually where the money in the business is.
And so you think that businesses are employing it. I mean, there's no reason a business can't use it, is there?
Correct. So small businesses, kind of mom and pop shops, if you have simultaneous ring on your phone line, mm-hmm. you can enable No More Robo, no problem. It's the big companies that have large call centers and want to integrate the No More Robo technology
right.
with their phone system. Those are the people that pay to license it.
I see. I like that idea, and it will save them money. I mean, there's no question about that. Well, how did you come up with all this, Aaron? You said you're not particularly, conversant with telephone systems. I think it's brilliant.
There's an old
that was a compliment, by the way.
Yeah, no, thank you. I find it so tough to kind of like take these kind of compliments too, because for me it was it was so obvious to me. I just kind of knew the answer. And
that's something. That's your technology. I used to be a computer programmer in another life. I loved it.
Yeah, and when you do, I worked with
problem solving. You're problem solving, really.
That's exactly it. And
logical problem solving. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Excuse me. I'm reminded of that. There's an old story about a truck that is stuck under an overpass. And, the police come and the fire department come and everybody says we have to, one group says we have to knock down the bridge. The other group says we have to cut the top off the truck. Nobody can figure it out. And there's a little boy who walks up and says, why don't you just let the air out of the tires? And so, I was that kid who walked up and said, just let the air out of the tires. And, everybody was looking up and looking there and looking at what they knew. And I came along with a different set of eyes and just said, no, guys, let's do it this way. And I'll be honest, nobody believed it would work. Everybody kept on saying, it can't be this simple. And so I just had to prove everybody wrong. I said, tell almost 100,000 people as of today that it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
It's blocked 2.5 million robocalls from reaching consumers in the last 6 months.
Wow.
So tell all those people that it's not working.
Well, now, I had read somewhere that it wasn't even that many, so it's really been blocking them. It's doubled the number that I had learned. Yeah.
It's growing. So it's blocking almost 30,000 robocalls a day right now.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. That's incredible.
Yeah. So you can see the volume also about how many people. We all just think, you get one, someone else gets one. Oh, they're annoying. But when you go and group, 300 million, United States citizens and with multiple phone lines and, this problem is huge.
It is a huge problem. And unfortunately, it's... it's annoying, but it's beyond that. It's also people are vulnerable and they fall for these scams. And, it just makes me so angry when I hear about this kind of thing with people. Well, look, I think that you have come up with something that works. It's great. Do you have to spend a lot of time developing the website and maintaining it?
Yeah, so this is my full-time job. I have a couple of people that are helping me out now. When it first started, I didn't know if it would work. I didn't know if anybody would show up. I didn't know if people wanted this.
Mm-hmm.
I had kind of no idea. I'd only been told by, the FTC and people. And it has just exploded like I could never have predicted. So this is my full-time gig. As I said, I'm the robocall terminator now. And this is what I get to do. it's rare that there's a business where it gets to, for me, I get to be, creative on the programming side. We get to protect people from bad guys, and I get to make money. Place is there to be?
Well, Aaron, I'm delighted you took the time to talk to us. I did something about this on television just the other day as well. So we're out there in your corner. Thank you so much. For our listeners, you've been tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I've been talking with Aaron Foss. He is the Nomo Robo founder, the way to block those annoying computer calls if you have a VOIP phone system. And if not, they may be coming. I'm Shirley Rooker. You're listening to 1500 AM Federal News Radio. Thank you for being with us.
of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.